Becoming a mom wasn't taboo, so why are the conversations? Having the space to be transparent and keeping the conversations real, highlighting women who are making motherhood and business work, all while making an impact. I'm your host, Antonia, and welcome to Talk Space & Co. Conversations for dope moms and company. Hello, company, and we are back for another episode, and we're in May. How are y'all feeling? I know we're probably on like day, I don't know, what is this, our eighth week of being in, I guess, self-quarantine or social distancing. I hope you guys are holding up the best as you possibly can. But of course, always remember to give yourself grace because we are in some new times that we have never been in before. So definitely don't be too hard on yourselves. I know the kids are probably getting into their distance learning. And to be perfectly honest with you, my kids still give it 2 thumbs down. 0 out of 10, they do not recommend, okay? So I understand if you are still in a space where you're just like, oh my gosh, please. But again, just remember to give yourself grace, and we are all in this together. Thank you to all of our essential workers who are continuing to be out there and just putting themselves out there for us, whether it be working in the grocery stores or delivering our packages or even our nurses and our doctors, But thank you so much to all of you. Thank you to everyone in the restaurant businesses. All of you, honestly, I can't even go down a list to name you because I don't want to leave anybody out, but just know that we appreciate you and thank you, thank you, thank you. So company, we're jumping into a new episode today, and we know motherhood looks different to us all. And in today's episode, I chat with Chardell, a mom of 3, about the action steps she took with her 2 sons who had a speech impediment. A speech impediment we know can either be a stutter or a lisp or someone who's just unable to speak. Today's episode, Chardell shares her journey and some of the things that she took to help her sons through this moment, and also some of the help that she received as well. So, of course, find your favorite spot. Maybe you're working out. Maybe you're cleaning. Maybe you're exercising. I said that already. But I hope you enjoy and happy listening. And yeah, let's get into today's episode. All right, so I am here with Chardell, and I'm getting ready to talk on a topic that, you know, some may know something about, or one of those topics where we kind of shy away from or can be tough to talk about. But before we jump right into it, Chardell, can you share with us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how many kids you have, all the fun facts?
Okay, well, sure. Well, first, my name is Chardell Hayden. I am married. I've been married for, 6 years.
Wow.
I'm going to take a guess. 6 years. I have 3 kids. I have a 9-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And I am a stay-at-home mom, but it's definitely altered into different things now. I've currently just started this year my own braiding business. So I've been doing hair and really focusing on that. And I've also managed some social media accounts, and I'm also a mom influencer on Instagram when I find time.
Yes.
I have a YouTube channel too.
So. Your hands are full.
Yeah, all over the place, and I kind of just hop in where I can.
Hey, because you do it for fun too. It's something that you enjoy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And in the same breath, I got to do what's working for me at the moment.
So. Exactly. Yeah.
Just flow. Yep.
All right. So let's talk. So you have 3 kids, and let's talk about your firstborn a little bit and how your pregnancy went and the delivery. How was that for you?
All right. So I found out I was pregnant with Jeremiah, and he was born 2011. So 2010 during the summer. And I didn't know it was him yet, of course. But I had a miscarriage. And oh, wow. I thought that, oh, well, dang, we're not pregnant anymore, moving on. Then about 4 months later, my body hadn't kicked back into gear yet. And I went to the doctor. Well, I called the doctor and I said, well, I'm still feeling like nothing's happening. Am I okay? Like, am I dying? And she was like, well, you might still be pregnant. And I'm like, what? Exactly. So I went to the store, got a pregnancy test. Yes, I was still pregnant. Come to find out, I was what? I was 14 weeks pregnant and I miscarried his twin.
Apparently. Oh my gosh.
Yes, didn't even know. So that the pregnancy already started off pretty like a shock because I didn't gain weight. I remember getting out the shower one time and seeing a little pouch. I'm like, oh, I done ate too much today. Lo and behold, he was in there chilling. So fast forward to when I went into labor, started in the middle of the night. I didn't know what I was feeling, of course, first baby. So it felt like just back pain. I was like, what's going on? What's happening? And I was at my boyfriend, now husband's house. And his parents were like, oh, it's probably not time yet because we were 2 weeks ahead of time. So come to find out, I went to the doctor later and she's like, you're definitely in labor, but it's moving slow. I had to walk around the mall and kept stopping in pain. And people kept saying, you want me to call the ambulance? I'm like, no, I'm walking so I can dilate, so I can go to the hospital. Needless to say, we got to the hospital, got all drugged up, of course, because I'm not playing.
Hey, there's no judgment.
Yes, got him all the way together. And then when it was time to push, I guess because I was drugged up, I wasn't pushing as hard. So when they were like, we're gonna have to use the suction, and I was like, oh, he's gonna have a cone head. Oh, heck no. And then I just really pushed and he popped right out. And there he was. He came out. I do not remember how much he weighed. I mean, you know, what else? He was healthy. And he was happy.
Nice. It really is. So, you know, we're growing. The kids are getting older. You know, they're starting their first moments and things like that. So when did you, like, realize that some of the milestones that he was supposed to be reaching, he wasn't?
Well, it was more or less, I really didn't notice anything until the doctor would say certain things to me. Mm. She would say things to me like, he's really small. And at first, I took it to heart like, what do you mean? Like, he's eating. He's not, like, I'm not depriving him of food. He's eating. So what do you mean he's small? And then I got to the point, I guess this is when my mommy brain started kicking in, like, look, he's healthy. He's fine. His parents aren't huge. So he's not going to be a big baby. That's just not what he's going to be. And I'm not going to stress out about what you're talking about. Then around the time that he was getting like one and a half, he wasn't speaking. And she kept saying, you know, when he points to stuff, because he would just point to things and I would know what he was talking about. And I would just get it automatically. And she was like, well, when he points to stuff, try to get him to say it. Don't just get it. And I couldn't break the habit. But she was making me so nervous about it. Like, oh, my, he's never going to speak. Like, oh, my goodness. So I was starting to freak out. I'm like, Jeremiah, I know you can talk, right?
Right.
It was getting really stressful, so she started to give me referrals. So I took them to different, we went to probably 3 different specialists just to sit down and talk to him and see what was going on. And they just really were telling me, like, it seems like he just doesn't want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't want to talk. So I didn't stress too much about it. I prayed about it. That was a big part of it because I wasn't going to put this little one and a half year old through so much stuff when I don't know yet. Like, we're just going to figure it out. It's only been a year and a half. Like, you know, it's like, let's not freak out. Then he started daycare. Come to find out, he was talking in daycare but not talking at home. So after we figured that out, we kind of laughed it off. Like, basically, it was better for him to be around other kids. Because he was the first child in the family. Mm-hmm. So he was just, you know, never around little children. So once he got around kids, then he started talking. And then that started coming home. Now, this is where things turned because then he started talking to us more eventually. And when he did, I remember the first thing I can remember so clearly is he used to always say Mo instead of no.
Mm.
And, of course, all of us would laugh because it was just so cute. A little 2-year-old, 2.5-year-old talking about Mo. And it was like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's a baby. Took him to the doctor, and she said, well, some of his words, he should be pronouncing them better. So at this point, I'm just like, look, everything that the boy is doing, he's saying it's late or he's not doing this. Like, it was really frustrating because, you know, certain things you just expect kids to pick up.
Yeah.
I think I'm speaking clearly at home, so I'm not sure where he's hearing the incorrect speech. And then it comes to, well, what's wrong with his ears? Then you start thinking about, well, like, is there something going on with his ears? So they were checking my baby's ears out, doing all this crazy mess. So we took him to another specialist once he got a little older. So he was about like three and a half. And she was basically like, once he's old enough, before he goes to kindergarten, the year before, I can put him into speech programs provided by the state. So I honestly didn't stress it too much when he was really small because I just felt like at the time, he's a kid, so let him be a kid for as long as he can be a kid. You know, as long as he's not really saying crazy things or really going off the handle. Like, right. I'll correct him here and there, but I'm not going to stress this little boy out.
Yeah.
And then stress myself out and then be sitting here trying to say, no, say it like this. We're going to figure it out when we need to figure it out.
Yeah.
So after that, once he turned, I believe, 4, I got him into a program with school. What's it called? Oh, Lord, it leaves my mind. IEP, I believe it was.
Yes, I've heard of that.
Yeah, so he's in the IEP program. He has been ever since before he started kindergarten. I used to just take him for, what was it, like like 30 minutes. Every few days to our neighborhood elementary school, and they would just sit down with him and go over sounds and words and things like that. So he's actually now in 3rd grade, and he just transferred to a new school because they went to a new school. So the school before this, he actually phased out. Like, they said he doesn't need it anymore.
Oh, that's good.
Right. I was excited. But in the new school, they asked if, did I still want him to take it? So I asked him because I'm like, you know, do you want to be in speech still or no? And he said yes. So I'm like, hey, free help is good help.
Right.
So he's back in speech now, but of course he's doing it from home during this quarantine time. So that's been the adventure with the first one. And now I'm trying to tackle speech with my second one. Last doctor's visit, which was the beginning of this year, she said that we might want to get him into speech because he just says he has a stutter. Mm-hmm. He has a stutter. Now, he's gotten much better. I think when he first started daycare, he came home and was stuttering a lot. But, of course, it was, like, information overload.
Yeah.
Like, now, you know, I'm learning things. I'm talking to kids all day. Like, I'm freaking out. So, now he really only stutters a little bit when he's excited. So, I'm thinking it's not really something that we need to go through the whole process with. We'll see once he starts kindergarten this year to see where he is. And if I need to, then I'll do it from there. But my biggest thing with dealing with things like this with my kids is I just don't rush to do what they say do.
And I can definitely relate to that. Sorry. Just because I feel like sometimes, you know, like you said, like I don't want to say that they overthink, but it's just kind of like they put that pressure on you to start making you think like, oh my God, something's seriously wrong.
Yeah. They make you just panic in a sense.
So
they make, like, when they told my first response, when they said it about my second child, I kind of freaked out a little bit. I'm like, oh my gosh, not again. Then I'm like, calm down. Like, he's fine. First of all, JoJo speaks really well. And it helps that he has his older brother because he spoke quickly and, like, more sooner than Jeremiah did because he has JJ.
Mm-hmm.
So now we just, like, when he is stuttering or he's, like, getting caught up on something, we all came to agreement, us with the whole family, and just say, every time he does that, we're just going to come down to his level and say, Jeremiah, JoJo, slow down.
Yeah.
And, you know, once he slows down, he gets what he needs to say out, and it's fine. So once he starts kindergarten, once again, I'm going to feel it through, see how my baby is feeling, because it's about how he's feeling. And if he's feeling good, which I'm sure he will be, then I'm not going to take him through that whole, cause when I say I was running around to all these specialists and these doctors and another paper, go here. It was just so much.
Yeah.
When I think if I had been maybe a second time mom, I could have treated Jeremiah in the house.
Yeah.
You know, I have a friend of mine whose son had a speech problem as well. It was her first son. And she just started working with him, I think, last year. And he's already much better. And she does it within her house.
Okay. So my question with that, though, like, okay, so I guess, are there different, like, levels to it? Or Well, obviously, because each person is different. But sometimes, like, when, like, I guess my question, how would you know what things to do?
Well, I think it's always good to get the first initial assessment.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely when they're the youngest and they're already stumbling over words, you can hear them.
Okay.
So just like, you know, just like I have a friend whose son, he's 3, and he struggles with SH words. So if you know a sound doesn't sound right when your child's trying to say it, I would just practice those sounds with them. It's really just just attacking the problem when you hear it.
Okay.
So just like when JJ was small, he was saying mo. If we would have stopped and said, no, say no, and helped him pronounce it, we may not even have gotten that far.
Got it. Okay.
He would have, you know, it would have changed then. So I really think it's more just listen to your kids. I always, people used to always say to me when JJ was small, like, you always know what he's saying, because a lot of people didn't understand him.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just tell you exactly what he said. But now, hindsight, I'm thinking, if I would have just worked with him because I know what he was saying, then maybe his speech would have became clearer without taking him to all these places. But
true.
At the time, I was like, I know what you're talking about, so we're just going to go with it.
Right, exactly, because you're thinking it's just normal baby talk.
Yeah.
He's
a child, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, everybody's different. My daughter's definitely total opposite of that. She's talking 100 miles per hour, and I haven't heard a
single. I've heard. Girls can talk.
Yeah, she is on a roll. So
when you were going through it or going to all the different specialists and things like that, like, was there anything inside you? Because, you know, mom guilt hits us hard.
Yeah.
Was there any moment at all where you felt like it was your fault or you could have done, like, did better?
Not with Jeremiah. It's very interesting. Not with my first one.
Okay.
But I think with JoJo, after the doctor told me earlier this year that he had a speech problem, I felt mommy guilt. Because I felt like, I mean, I've already gone through this before. He's home with me. I should be doing. I'm not one of the moms that's pulling out the keyword cards or, you know, the sight words. I'm not one of those. You know, I'm more like, you know, if we on the computer and we see something, hey, what's that? Sound that out. Moving on. Like, I don't really dive into those things. So I felt some mommy guilt after hearing JoJo was having stuttering problems. I like, cried when I heard. Like, when I realized it was going on, because I was like, goodness gracious, here I go again. I could have caught it early, but I was just too busy doing other things.
Yeah.
You know, and not necessarily other things like clubbing, but other things like washing clothes and taking care of the siblings and cooking dinner and just being like, JoJo, you know, just calm down. But not with the first one. I had no mommy guilt. I was more of like on attack mode with JJ.
Mm-hmm.
He was my first and my only. So I was like, okay, he needs this. All right, we gone.
Yeah.
I'll be there. That's it.
So when you found out that you were pregnant the second time with JoJo, like, were you apprehensive as like, oh my gosh, maybe he'll have a speech delay as well? Or like, how did you feel?
Honestly, didn't even think about it.
Okay, that's good.
I planned to have JoJo, my second baby. I got pregnant. I was excited. I was big to the house, and that was it. I did not. I think me as a person, I don't dwell on things.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother tells me all the time, I'm really, really laid back. And sometimes it can work in my favor, and sometimes not, because I can be a huge procrastinator. But it's things that are like, I think, need time. I'm really good at giving things time. I'm really good at separating one experience from another. You know, I don't, like, I had one son, so he should be the same. I'm like, we're just going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever's going on, we're going to figure it out. And I kind of just roll with the punches. That's how I've always been.
Nice. So how are some ways that, I guess, you help JoJo?
Well, ways I help JoJo, I do try to read to him more often now. Honestly, sometimes I'm too tired, but when I do, I try to sit down and read with him. We do this thing where we like name things outside instead of sight words, because it's just boring.
Boring.
It's a word, you know. So it's more like I point to something outside, because he's a big animal nature kind of boy. So he likes dinosaurs and things like that. So he can tell you the name of a dinosaur without a problem. So I'll sit down with him and, like, teach me about the dinosaur and kind of just let him, I just try to get him talking, if nothing else.
Because, yeah.
You know, that I think that's the biggest thing that I didn't do with JJ. I just kind of let JJ flow. You didn't want to talk. You want to point to the juice. All right, I'm going to just give you the juice. Like, yeah. I'm not going to do that. But with JoJo, I was more intentional in actually having conversations with him in which he spoke back.
Mm-hmm.
Or he said something back. Even when there's sometimes where he, there has been times when he gets stuck on something and he can't get it out. And he's gets, JoJo's a different kind of child than my first one. He gets really frustrated really quickly. And he'll start crying, or he'll just like growl, like he's an animal. And I have to be like, JoJo, calm down. What are you trying to tell me?
Yeah.
And then, you know, even if we're struggling, then I say, go get it, whatever it is, and then I'll help him form the sentence. So I'm more intentional when I see that he is struggling.
Nice. That's good.
Instead of just going with the flow, I'm more like, oh, you're struggling? Wait a minute. Calm down. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. And then it sounds like you also make it, like, really engaging and fun, too. Like, rather than, like you said, just those boring sight words. But, yeah. Like, picking out things that he actually likes and picking out things that he can get excited about so that he can, you know, I guess,
yeah.
Encourage him to speak. So that's good, too.
I think in addition, you know, with that, I also, because teaching your kids or helping them with something doesn't just involve just one person. It just doesn't involve me.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he's not with me all the time. He spends a lot of time with his sister at daycare. He spends time with his brother, JJ. So even when he stutters, I can hear JJ saying to him, slow down, JoJo. So it's like a family thing.
His That's daddy good. Does it.
And then even when he's in daycare, I made sure, because I visited a lot of daycares, and I'm telling you, I'm real quick to be like, nope, you're not going there.
No, that's right.
the lady I found was patient, and she was able, because JoJo's a really headstrong child already. Mm-hmm. You know, I pray for his wife, because she's going to have her hands. So I needed someone that was going to be patient with him, that was going to understand his frustration is not necessarily him acting out, but him not being able to communicate. And that's something we stress with JoJo because, you know, some teachers, no shade, can be real dismissive of children.
Yes, I agree.
And, you know, and dismissive of their needs. So I already know that I need to pay attention to JoJo when he does start school and make sure the teachers are we on the same level, because he's going to need some patience. He's going to need some really hands-on stuff because that's just kind of child he is. So because I know he's just not with me, I made sure when I chose his daycare provider, I made sure her head was right. I made sure, you know, when I picked him up, JoJo, what you do today? Had the conversations with him. You know, I really just try to keep communication open on all sides and make sure that everybody within the family that's going to be around my baby are aware of what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I'll be real quick. Somebody said the wrong thing. Even if it's a family member, I'll be like, well, you can't go over there, no boy. That's the end of that.
Oh, gosh.
I've done that before. I had a stepbrother who said something, I think, to JJ. Called him a sissy or something.
Oh, no. We don't do that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And after I put him in his place, I was like, and then you won't be with him by yourself no more.
Yeah, no. We don't talk down to each other.
Yeah. No. And not to a child.
Yeah.
My age.
So.
You're taken out.
Exactly. So tell me, because you kind of mentioned it earlier about the IEP with Jeremiah. So how did you go about, like, was the program, or is it a program? It's not a program.
I guess it's a program.
Okay.
I do get, like, paperwork for it. I get updates on it. The teacher sends an updated IEP every couple of months. So it was more or less more just paperwork, filling out things. I had to fill out stuff like questions like, do other people understand what he's saying? And mm-hmm. I would have to say no. You know, like, no. Any certain words that you know he struggles with, it would be like, no, he's not good with N sounds right now.
Yeah.
It was more or less just answering those type of questions. And then when he got assessed by specialists, they would fill out, I guess, the hefty parts, what they see, they're the professionals. So they would fill that stuff out, and then that stuff would get forwarded to the school.
Okay.
And then I would have to go to IEP meetings with, like, the specialist, the speech specialist of the school, his teacher, the person that oversees the speech department, and really just sit down, and they'll let me know where he is, what he needs to work on, and when we're going to start.
Nice.
That's really how it's been.
So you have to have, like, open communication, constant communication with the teachers.
Yeah, constant communication with the teacher, and definitely constant communication with Jeremiah, because, you know, as he gets older and he, you know, he has to get put out of class once a week for like 30 minutes to go somewhere, just to see how he's feeling. I always wanted to make sure he knew what was happening and it wasn't just like, I'm getting put out of school just to go talk, work on some words.
Yeah.
I always told him no, because he would say, do I talk bad? And I'm like, no. You don't talk bad. You just want to speak more clearer. So once you read books and you start writing things, you're able to write and read clearly so you can communicate clearly. Just to make sure his head is straight.
Yeah.
Because, you know, kids, other kids can be, you know,
mean.
Not nice.
Exactly. So mean. I'm like, yo, these kids out here are savage.
Yes, and I don't want to have to pull up. I'm one of those.
Stop.
I pulled up before, so stop. I just gotta, you know, keep it open.
So okay, so let's talk about that. So you're ready to pull up. How do you now advocate for your children?
I advocate for my children now. I think the biggest thing with making sure I'm advocating for my children in the right way is communicating with them. So if there's miscommunications in school, like if Jeremiah gets a phone call, if I get a phone call from his teacher and she tells him he did this, and this, yes, I heard what she said. When he comes home, I hear what he says. I compare the stories and, like, you know, go off of whatever, you know, speak to him about whatever the issue is and what he could have did better. There's been a few times where he's, like, spoken back to the teacher or said no about something or got accused of something he said he didn't do and she said he did and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. So I don't automatically go off on my child, like, you need to pay attention. I sit them down. I'm like, so what happened? This is what really happened. Like, what, you know, whatever. And then how they could just make better decisions. Even if the teacher tells you you did something wrong and she's making you sit over there, just sit there.
Yeah.
And then come home and talk to me.
Yeah.
Now, when it gets a little rougher, because we've had a couple of times when there've been other kids doing things that weren't nice, I have gotten on the school bus.
Ooh.
You know.
I know that's right.
I've knocked on neighborhood doors. I think one girl took his honey bun one time and wouldn't give it back, so I knew where she lived. I knocked on the door, and of course, he's kind of, no, Mom, I don't want to, but no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do this because next thing you know, it'll be your lunch money.
Exactly.
And we don't give away money. That's just not what we're going to do until you got a job. So.
Stop it.
You know, so I went to the door and addressed that. So I just try to show my kids overall that, you know, if there is a problem, I will address it. You don't ever have to worry about it being a problem and me not listening or me being like coming down on you hard. I might get on you a little bit depending on what it is, but I'm also going to talk to the other counterpart.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a two-way street.
Most definitely. I can agree with that. Especially having boys. Like, I don't know if it's just like a boy thing, but the phone calls that I got this past school year, oh my gosh. But yes, definitely, like, I like that you sit them down, talk to them too, and get their side as well, because again, everybody's perspective or how they translate things is just completely different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So hi, Jeremiah. He doesn't like to be accused of things that he feel like he didn't do. So he'll go back and forth with you, and I have to teach
him.
Sometimes you just got to take that L, and then you come home and tell me. And if I don't feel like it's necessary, I'll email the teacher. She's nice. And I'll let her know, Jeremiah does not like this, okay?
Yeah. No, seriously, because I mean, and that's another thing too, just teaching your kids to stand up for themselves, but not being disrespectful. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So how has all of this changed you with Jeremiah and then also with JoJo?
It's really helped me be more alert, and alert number one as to just what my child needs when they're with me, noticing things and not just being like, oh, you just did that one time, like really tackling things that I see.
Mm-hmm.
And also changed my perspective on how important communication is. Like, I already knew communication was important. I mean, hey, I'm married. I've been with this guy for over 12 years.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yes, but definitely when it comes to your kids, it's a totally different communicative relationship, and it develops over age and over time, and it's different with each child. the way I would speak to Jeremiah, I can't speak to JoJo the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the way I talk to Sky, I can't speak to the boys the same way.
Yeah.
So it's taught me how to separate all three and address whatever issues, you know, and get down to their level.
Yeah.
And really just connect, because they crazy.
And also, for me, just by talking to you, just being more attentive to, you know, what they say, how they've said it, so that you could kind of guide them and, like, point them in the right direction and help them through with their speech. Yeah.
It makes it so much easier when you just notice straight off the bat small stuff and start tackling those things, because then the small things don't get a chance to turn into bigger things.
Right, right.
You know, everything stays small.
Yeah. So what are some things that you can leave with moms who children may have a speech delay, or they're probably noticing, or doctors have been telling them? Like, what are some, I don't know, your words that you can share?
Okay, well, my first word would be, don't panic. The worst thing you do right now is panic and just, you know, some parents will panic and start trying to teach their child all these, you know, let's do our ABCs. Like, don't panic and just listen to your child. Your child will tell you and show you what they need when it's time for them to need it. You know, just like with Jeremiah, yes, I probably could have addressed some smaller things in the beginning, but the timing of how things progressed was right for him, because he never felt overwhelmed. He never felt like, oh, I don't want to do this because of this and this. He never felt like he was wrong. And I think that's what's important, because it's something he couldn't control. So, you know, when I knew we needed to step up our game, I would just tell Jeremiah, okay, we're going to say these words a little bit better, or we're going to do this. Or if he's doing a good job, JJ, you're doing your thing. Let's have a party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's just super important to communicate and learn your children, or child, who, you know, however many you have, so you can just cater to their needs, because all their needs are different.
Yeah, I agree.
None of them are the same. So that's really what I would say.
Yeah.
Don't panic, pay attention.
Nice. So share with us, where could we find you, support you, either on social media, YouTube, drop it all. Go for it.
All right. Well, you can find me on Instagram under Charlotte Hayden. That's my mom influencing page. If you're in a DMV area and you need your hair braided, you can find me on Braids by Shardell on Instagram as well. I also have a YouTube channel, which is also my name, just Charlotte Hayden. And it's, what is it? Vlogs, hair things, DIY, all those kind of things. And really, if you have any questions, if there's anyone that's listening and has any questions about speech or struggling with speech with their child, please send me a message. I have so much information and so much experience in the area at this point. I would love to support whoever I can.
Nice. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me, talking to me, and also sharing with our company just how you get through or have gotten through some challenges that a lot of us may face or may be facing currently, without like all the doctors and the people in our ear, and how you work through it on your own as well. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I really had fun. I enjoyed sharing.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or hit follow and love on Spotify. And to stay connected with Mom Space & Co. and connect with today's guests, follow us on Instagram, tweet us on Twitter, and download the Mom Space & Co. app in the Apple App Store and in the Google Play Store.